Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
A man in Maryland has been charged with murder after his secretive project to build an underground nuclear bunker ended with the death of a worker hired to dig the network of tunnels.
So he was building a nuclear bunker?
Yep. Daniel L. Beckwith was concerned about the increase in international tensions and, in particular, North Korea's acquisition of long-range ballistic missiles, and he was in the process of building a secure location for himself, according to his lawyer, Robert Bonsip. Now, Beckwith was indicted Thursday on charges of involuntary manslaughter, which can be punished up to 10 years imprisonment, and second-degree murder, which can be punished by up to 30 years. Bonsip said that he expected Beckwith to post his $100,000 bail on Monday. Officials were called when a fire broke out at Beckwith's home in a leafy residential neighborhood in Bethesda, Maryland. Police officers and firefighters responded and spoke with Beckwith in the basement. They discovered the naked, charred body of a deceased male. They also found a hole in the basement floor with an entrance shaft that dropped about 20 feet down and fanned out into tunnels spanning about 200 feet underground.
Oh, my God.
The man who was found dead, a guy named Askia Kafara, had been working to dig the tunnels. The medical examiner determined that the cause of death was smoke inhalation and thermal injury. So he burned to death and died from smoke inhalation as well. Beckwith, who had made profits in the seven figures over the years by trading stocks, had been trying to keep himself safe in the event of a nuclear attack and had been working with Kafara for months. He added that Beckwith had invested in Kafara's entrepreneurial ventures in the past, so when he sought help to dig the tunnels, Kafara was an experienced, willing participant.
Sure, I'll dig your tunnel.
Who returned to the house multiple times and posted pictures of himself underground and wearing safety gear on social media. Now, court documents indicate that on multiple occasions, Beckwith gave Kafara a ride from Silver Springs, Maryland to the house in Bethesda, but had him put on blackout glasses on the way and told him the house was actually in Virginia so that Kafara would not know exactly where he was working.
So when the missiles started flying, he wouldn't come running.
Kind of like that.
Just keeping his little silo there, his bunker hidden.
The house is maintained in hoarder conditions with narrow maze-like pathways throughout. They added that the substantial electrical needs of the underground tunnel complex were served by a haphazard daisy chain of extension cords and plug extenders that caused substantial risk of fire, and that Beckwith was aware of an increased fire risk in the hours before the blaze. Prosecutors say Kafara had sent a text message about a smoky smell, and Beckwith had tried flipping a circuit breaker. Bonsip said that after the fire broke out, Beckwith tried twice to rescue Kafara but could not because he was overcome by the smoke and that he was later hospitalized for facial burns and smoke inhalation.
Yeah, he got burned up digging my hole.
So this guy is facing murder and manslaughter charges, right?
So he's like so terrified. Yeah. He's building this hole and the guy gets burned up trying to set everything up.
All right. Story number two.
All right.
A teenager who had his penis ripped off by a shark as he swam in the Sea of Brazil has died. Oh, Jose Ernesto da Silva was attacked.
Which one was it, Mark Cuban?
No. After it wasn't one of those sharks, not from Shark Tank. Died while bathing in the waters of Piedade Beach near
the ripped off penis, that's what that means.
Near Recife on Brazil's northeast coast. The shark struck at just his lifeguard station on the beach and told the 18-year-old to come closer to the shore, and he died at the hospital having suffered two heart attacks on the way.
That's a tough angle.
The youngster had his left leg amputated and had veins reattached to his sexual organs in a three-hour operation as doctors tried to stem his blood loss, but the victim died hours later.
Oh, my God.
He had been ordered by his mother not to go to the beach following a horrendous shark attack in April, in which a 34-year-old tourist lost an arm and a leg. A shocking video taken by passengers, shows the moment that other people pulled Jose from the sea before emergency crews arrived. I wouldn't watch the video.
So it bit up high enough on the leg where it bit off the penis as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
He apparently in the video lies limp and unresponsive on the sand and gasps for air as a concerned helper holds his head and tells him to keep breathing while another lifts his leg in a desperate attempt to keep him alive. But despite undergoing emergency surgery, his penis and femur were amputated by the bite of what is believed to be a tiger shark, and he died from it.
I'm sorry, man. So someone like a month earlier was killed on that same beach?
In April, yeah.
In April?
Yeah,
no, don't go swimming there.
Agreed. All right, lighter. but just as bizarre.
If you can tie them both together, a guy who builds his shelter to protect him from penis attacks.
No, no, this is different. Right. After suffering from abdominal pain and constipation for 2 days,
yeah,
one 50-year-old Chinese man decided that the best thing to do would be to shove an eggplant up his butt.
Oh, man. Trust me, it doesn't work.
Trust you?
Yeah, it does not work.
Unsurprisingly, in the end, the enormous vegetable did little to solve the man's problem, only making the pain and discomfort worse while also inducing nausea and vomiting. After another 2 days of this, he finally decided that it might be time to go to the hospital. At the hospital, he got an x-ray scan which showed that the aubergine was so large that it had been shoved that it was actually causing damage to his lung.
Oh, my God. I don't know how to tell you this, but I have an eggplant up my ass. I know.
Quickly, doctors at the hospital decided to operate. They managed to carefully pull out the foreign object afterward.
It was touching his lung?
They measured the eggplant, finding that it was around 30 centimeters long.
Preston.
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever had, you know, the digital exam?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
No.
No, how could it be?
Neither would an eggplant.
So, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to get right to this other story. It's our last one. It's kind of lengthy, but I love it. A standoff in a Florida grocery store between a hammer-wielding suspect and local law enforcement ended in an arrest and multiple charges after one quick-thinking official dinged the suspect in the back with first one and then a second can of Bush's Extra Brown Sugar Baked Beans.
We were laughing at the video this morning.
Oh, my God.
It's so perfect.
It's hilarious. John Tyler Stanford walked into a grocery store and after destroying his vehicle near the store, Sheriff Tommy Ford and several other law enforcement personnel responded to the grocery store after receiving inaccurate emergency calls inside the store that an armed man was holding hostages inside and someone had been shot. That wasn't the case. When authorities arrived, they were trying to establish communication with the suspect inside, but he walked out of the store pointing the hammer as if it was a gun. The officer, Sheriff Major Jimmy Stanford, said, "We realized that he wasn't holding a gun, but we weren't sure if he had a firearm on him." Stanford is not related to the suspect, by the way. They have the same last name. As the three officers approached the entrance where Stanford was standing, he started to swing the hammer at them. The suspect then went back into the store. In the video of the incident, Major Stanford is seen positioning himself behind the suspect, whose attention was with the two other officers. He was continuing to swing his hammer at him. So Major Stanford was hoping to catch the suspect off guard and apprehend him from behind, but the suspect realized he was also being approached from behind. He said, "He saw me, and then I saw the cans, and it was almost like they were meant to be there." So he grabbed two cans of baked beans. He whips him at the guy. The first one just clocks him right in the head.
Dead on.
And those things are heavy.
Yes,
dude. They are. And all three of the law enforcement officials were able to apprehend the guy. The suspect was taken to a local hospital for his injuries. He tried to take a weapon from a deputy who was standing guard over him in the emergency room. But the video is hilarious. You just see him take these beans and just boom,
boom,
nails him right in the head. Florida man.
Florida man.
It actually reminds me of Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that?
The guy
is a purse snatcher and he knocks somebody's groceries out of their hands. And he picks up this can of soup and whips it and nails the dude in the head. That's just what this video is like.
That's good thinking.
Yep. So this guy's going to jail now.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
Charlotte Fox, a survivor of the deadly 1996 Mount Everest expedition, died last week. She fell down the stairs at her Colorado home. This is a woman who survived a horrible Mount Everest expedition. And she was found dead by her friends who were staying with the climber at her for a mountain film weekend. The county coroner is waiting for results of a toxicology report and hasn't yet released the cause of her manner of death, but foul play is not suspected. She endured several tragedies over the course of her life. Her longtime boyfriend died in an avalanche in 1993, and her husband, Reese Martin, died in a paragliding accident in 2004.
Jesus.
Fox made headlines after the tragedy on Mount Everest in 1996. She was one of the many climbers in large groups and small groups, even some solo mountaineers attempting to descend from the summit of Everest when they became caught in a blizzard. Eight climbers died, and Fox told John Krakauer, who wrote In the Thin Air, based on the incident, that she did not think that she was going to survive it. She said, "I didn't see how we were going to get out alive. The cold was so painful. I didn't think I could endure it anymore. I just curled up in a ball and hoped that death would come quickly."
Did you ever see the movie Everest?
No.
It's actually really good. Now, they may take some license with the story, but to kind of get a visceral feel of what they were going through, It's pretty amazing.
She was the first woman to climb three mountains at altitudes of 8,000 meters or higher. After she reached Mount Everest summit, she continued climbing and even trekked up two more 8,000-meter mountains 2 years before her death.
You know what, Fred? I think I've got the bug to watch more documentaries about Everest.
Oh, there you go.
On my couch in my house.
Wow. Okay, so driving on the highway too slowly, of course, can be more dangerous than driving too fast, especially if you are doing so in a bumper car.
How can you drive a bumper car? You need the electrical?
Not for this particular kind.
So all right.
The footage recorded on a highway in Guiyang, China, shows a woman driving a pink bumper car down a busy roadway as regular-sized vehicles leave her in their dust.
It's great. It's great. She's going across the lanes.
Yeah. She was stopped by police and given a warning. Police say that they confiscated the bumper car from the driver who operates a bumper car business in the city. And I guess she was just trying to get from A to B on it, but she could have had an accident.
It's great.
Herein lies the problem with social media. People see it, okay? 80 high school sophomores from Georgia had their final exam scores thrown out after it was revealed that they had cheated. Gwinnett County Schools officials confirmed that someone shared the answers to the 10th grade language arts, world history, and chemical exams on social media. They actually put all the answers on social media.
Come on.
Dacula High School administrators say
Dacula.
A preponderance of evidence helped them identify the cheaters, and all 80 of them are going to receive scores of zero. Oh,
that's wild.
They suspect that the person who had shared the answers to the countywide exams online is not a student at the school.
How could they conclusively determine that those 80 all saw? You'd have to have incontrovertible evidence, yep. Right?
Don't know, but
that's
somehow
kind of a judgment call.
Well, if they were dumb enough to post it on social media, they probably were dumb enough to make some other mistakes and get themselves caught.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah,
possibly. When you think of all the things that you spend $1 million on, a diamond encrusted vibrator might not be very high on the list. But Australian jewelry designer Colin Byrne, who handcrafted the Pearl Royale over a period of 15 years, wants to change that sentiment with the promise of a very expensive but worthwhile orgasmic tool.
He runs a company called I Hate Stephen Pajanger.
So this is Australian jewelry designer.
Look at this thing.
Colin Byrne, he said, my inspiration was to create something that shows the value people place on sex. The high-end sex toy is covered in 2,000 diamonds.
Wow.
A collection of royal blue sapphires and very rare pink diamonds, all of which have been flush set so you avoid cutting your genitals.
The technical term is ripping up your bunghole.
He said it's worth an incredible $1.8 million, making it the world's most expensive sex toy.
I can't imagine, though, prolonged use of that, because you have basically nooks and crannies and...
Well, they're all flush set in it.
Yeah, but it's still, as you look at it, whatever.
So, weighing just under a kilogram, the scepter-like object's power is unlocked with a platinum key at the base. The central South Sea pearl at the top of the vibrator has a platinum key attached that activates the vibrator's multi-speed function.
Wow.
And when removed, transforms into an opulent and exquisite pearl and diamond necklace, worn as the key to luxurious pleasure, the website reads.
Like it? It's my dildo.
Mr. Byrne is currently touring the United States looking for a gallery owner willing to display the design as well as others that he has created.
This is what I imagine R2-D2's girlfriend would look like.
There's another one called Casanova. It's a similarly shaped dildo made of 18-karat gold. And he has made a gold egg-shaped vibrator that goes for about $33,000, a white gold dildo that goes for $50,000, and a gold-handled whip made of human hair that goes for about $25,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you like to see our dildos?
So far, a host of Russian jewelers and a few members of the hip-hop community are willing to take home the Pearl Royale.
Russian jewelers and the hip-hop community.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.